This podcast homily is part of a series of homilies for Whit Sunday Pentecost and the Sundays in Trinity season in worship using the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. Welcome to this podcast homily for the ninth Sunday after Trinity. I'm Father Ron Shipley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. These homilies are always found on the podcast homilies page at the AIC website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. They, as well as the entire AIC archive of hundreds of homilies on various topics, can also be accessed through the Podbean gadget on the digital library page of the same site. The epistle reading is 1 Corinthians 12:1-11, St. Paul's teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. When St. Paul speaks of tongues, his primary meaning is the various languages of mankind and not the speaking of charismatic languages which none can understand. When he speaks of dumb idols, he is referring to the many Old Testament quotations which speak of idols that have ears but see not, tongues which speak not, and ears that hear not. The Gospel reading, Luke 19:41-47a, which contains wisdom from Jesus Christ on two topics, the fate of Jerusalem and also the cleansing of the temple. The time is Palm Sunday. The triumphal entry into Jerusalem, with Jesus fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy of Zechariah 9:9 by riding a colt into the city, had already taken place before we enter the scene in the reading. The common people of Jerusalem call Jesus a king, quoting a variation on Psalm 118:26, as reported in Luke 19:38a, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord." They also shouted in 38b, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." The Pharisees reacted by demanding that Jesus rebuke your disciples in verse 39. Instead, Jesus wept for the fate of the city of David. The scriptural text suggests that the Pharisees had left the scene by the time Jesus spoke to his disciples in the latter half of the reading. Jesus would have been speaking at that time to the people at large and to the disciples. This account is unique to the Gospel of St. Luke and reflects St. Luke's confidence in the truth of Jesus' divine origin and nature, including his ability to know the future. In St. Luke's account, Jesus describes in significant detail an event which would not happen for nearly 40 years, that is, the destruction of Jerusalem by Titus on orders from his father, the Emperor Vespasian, in 70 AD. When you hear the reading, keep in mind how Titus actually destroyed the city. He built a barrier around it, then destroyed the city, including the temple, stone by stone. Verse 42, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. The last verse in that reading contains the doctrinal message for Trinity 10. In verse 44b, you did not know the time of your visitation. None of us knows the time of our visitation, or that is, the final judgment. None of us knows when Jesus will fulfill his promise to return again to judge mankind. Christian teaching since the early church is that we should not spend time wondering when the last days will come, but instead focus on living godly, righteous lives. The psalmist gave good advice on that topic in Psalm 1, the two-ways psalm. Blessed is the man that hath not walked in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stood in the way of sinners, and hath not sat in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law will he exercise himself day and night. For more on the concept of blessedness, as used in that psalm, see part 2 of the AIC bookstore publication, Christian Spirituality and Anglican Perspective, available in paperback and Kindle versions at www.amazon.com/author/Ronald-E-Shibley. 100% of all book royalties are contributed to the AIC. Also remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 5:20, which was our reading just a few weeks ago. For I say unto you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. But that is not the only message of today's gospel reading. The second half of St. Luke's account, his account of Jesus' cleansing of the temple, or driving out those who bought and sold in it, in that reading, St. Luke offers less detail than do St. Mark and St. Matthew, describing the act in a single long sentence comprising a single verse, verse 45. The sparse wording may account for why the most quoted verse associated with the cleansing of the temple comes from the Luke, not from the Lucan account, but from the account in St. Matthew, who also calls them money changers. In all fairness, it must be understood that the money changers were there because Jewish law forbade any coin with a likeness of Caesar inside the temple. These changers operated in the outside court known as the court of the Gentiles. The coin they were selling was a coin minted on the Mediterranean coast at Tyre, now in Lebanon. However, it must also be said that they most likely did their trading for exorbitant fees and sold other products and services than money changing, including the selling of sacrificial animals, often at high markups. Displaying his extensive knowledge of the writings of the prophets, Jesus used two Old Testament quotations from the Septuagint or Greek Old Testament. From Isaiah 56:7, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." Jesus only quoted the first half of the sentence, to which he added a phrase from the work of the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 7:11, "You have made it a den of thieves." Together, these two quotes are evidence of Jesus' declaration in Matthew 5:17 that he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Afterwards, St. Luke tells us Jesus, quote, taught in the temple, but he does not tell us what it is that he taught. The prayer book reading for the 10th Sunday after Trinity leaves out the final verse in the sentence, and I offer it now as evidence that Jesus' words did not dissuade the temple leadership, but only seemed to inflame them. But the chief priests, scribes, and leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. The first of two closing prayers for today is a catena of my own composition based on Psalm 147, verses 1, 5, 7, and 11. The second is the collect for the 10th Sunday after Trinity, which Archbishop Cranmer adapted from the Gelasian and Leonine sacramentaries as the prayers were used in the Church of England. Oh, praise the Lord, for it is a good thing to sing praises unto our God. Yea, a joyful and pleasant thing it is to be thankful. Great is our Lord, and great is his power. Yea, and his wisdom is infinite. Oh, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises upon the harp to our God. For the Lord's delight is in them that fear him, and put their trust in his mercy. O praise the Lord. Amen. Let thy merciful ears, O Lord, be open to the prayers of thy humble servants, and that they may obtain their petitions, make them to ask such things as shall please thee through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to God for all things. Amen. Thank you for listening. I invite you to visit the other pages on the AIC website and use its resources for your enlightenment and discernment. www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. This program has been a production of the Anglican Internet Church, and we invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.